Hello, I'm Pastor Rod Holler of the Cape Baptist Church in Cape Coral, Florida. I hope this message will be a blessing to you. Thanks for listening. Well, I would like to open this morning with a poem about Mother's Day. He didn't like the casserole and he didn't like my cake. My biscuits were too hard, not like his mother used to make. I didn't perk the coffee right. He didn't like the stew. I didn't mend his socks the way his mother used to do. I pondered for an answer. I was looking for a clue. Then I turned around and smacked him like his mother used to do. Happy Mother's Day. But I have noticed that too often on Mother's Day, the mother-in-law is ignored. So I thought we need to address the mother-in-law today. Two women came before wise King Solomon, dragging between them a young man in a business suit. "This young lawyer agreed to marry my daughter," said one. "No, he agreed to marry my daughter," said the other. And so they argued until the king called for silence. "Bring me my biggest sword," said Solomon, "and I shall cut this young attorney in half. Each of you shall receive a half." "Sounds good to me," said the first lady. But the other woman said, "Oh, sire, do not spill innocent blood. Let the other woman's daughter marry him." The wise King Solomon did not hesitate a moment. "The attorney must marry the first lady's daughter," he proclaimed. But the king's advisor said, "But she was willing to cut the man in two." "Indeed," said Solomon, "she has the true spirit of a mother-in-law." Well, maybe this message is a little different than you were expecting. I want to come at today's message from a different vantage point. In our Mother's Day message, the Bible deals very practically with the hardships and the realities of life. And that's kind of what I want to take this vantage point from on Mother's Day. Mother's Day was created by Anna Jarvis, a day for each family to honor their mother. If you read about Anna Jarvis, she had a good relationship with her mother. And she thought it was a great idea that everybody would just recognize her mother. But did you know that not everybody's all excited about honoring their mother? That's a sad reality. And the truth is, I deal with that every time I have a Mother's Day and a Father's Day. There are some people that don't get along with their mom and dad. And I want to come at this message today from that vantage point, because Anna Jarvis obviously just, in her corner of the world, this is a great thing to do. And there are some people to say, you know what, if I would have been there, I would have said, "Anna, why don't you keep that to yourself?" Now, I understand that the Bible tells us to honor father and mother, and it is right that we do so. We really don't need a day to do that. But even therein, there are some Christians that really find it very hard because mom was not what she should have been, or dad was not what he should have been in Father's Day. This is reality, folks. And our Bible is extremely practical, and I want to address this morning. For whatever reason, though, there are people hearing my voice, and they're not all excited about this day. Maybe mom never tended to her personal cleanliness or order in the home. Maybe mom nagged the father. Maybe your mother was very controlling. Maybe your mom was always critical. Maybe mom was a drunk or a drug addict. Maybe mom gave you up for adoption and you don't even know who she is. Maybe your mom was immoral. Maybe your mom was always angry. Maybe you could never please your mom. Maybe your mom was just plain miserable for whatever reason. Maybe some have regrets this day for their behavior as a mother. And we sit here and say, "Happy Mother's Day." I want to take this message and have the reality of life. Not everybody's happy on Mother's Day. But still, as Christians, we are to honor our parents. I want to have a message today. Does anyone care? I wasn't there. I don't know Anna Jarvis. But I do wonder if she considered people that had poor homes and they didn't have the mom that she had. I'm glad she had a good mom. Again, I don't know this lady. I can't pass judgment. But I just have a feeling that She didn't really think about how it would impact some families. We're going to consider Hannah from 1 Samuel chapter 1. We're going to consider her circumstances, making a bad situation worse, accused of drunkenness, and then blessed by God. Does anyone care? I want you to think about this. This woman, obviously this is not talking about a Mother's Day, but we're going to see that it is a special day because it's a day of sacrifice and worship. And the family was there. And this day that was supposed to be one of honoring God was a miserable time. And some of you are going to have a miserable time on Mother's Day, but you make the most of it. That's why I think the Bible is so practical. And I want you to see, if you're going to have a lousy day with Mom, I want you to see how Hannah got the victory. Because it is worth it all. 1 Samuel chapter 1, verse 1. There was a certain man from Ramoth Thame Zophim of Mount Ephraim, and his name was Elkanah, the son of Jeroham, and the son of Elihu, the son of Tohu, the son of Zoph, an Ephrathite. You look at that genealogy and you see in 1 Chronicles chapter 6, it matches it and it tells us he's from a tribe of Levi. This man is of the priestly line. Got it? Verse 2, and he had two wives. The name of one was Hannah, the name of the other Peninnah. Peninnah had children, but Hannah had no children. And this man went up out of his city yearly to worship and to sacrifice unto the Lord of hosts in Shiloh. I want us to consider this man. It was a special occasion, and he packs up the family once a year and travels to worship before God. And if you were to watch them, putting it in modern day, we watch the family get up and they're all dressed up on Sunday morning. They get in the car and they drive to church. But the truth is, it's not a happy family. Outwardly, it looks like, isn't that neat? They all go so faithfully every year to make this journey to go worship God. An extracurricular activity among the regular worship they may have throughout the year, this one that was special to them. And they looked like any other family. And yet, like so many families, they have problems. He had two wives. Now you get this. He's from the priestly line. Do you think he's got some problems? You bet he got problems. God intended marriage to be between one man and one woman. We read that very clearly in Genesis. This man is of the priestly lineage, and yet he violates the fundamental principle for marriage. Things are never at peace when not done God's way. It can't be. Two wives will not be at peace. God's plan has been violated, and therefore there are many problems. The strife is intensified. Look at the last part of chapter 1, verse 2. Peninnah had children, Hannah did not. Now there's this burden because Hannah is not producing children for her husband. Peninnah is going to exploit this to aggravate the situation. And it's a terrible shame that God is the one that opens the womb. God is the one that closes the womb. It is a shame that anybody would be mocked or made fun of because of a physical attribute. And we're going to see this in this passage. So it is. They come to this time of worship, and there is strife in the family. Peninnah, strife, the two wives. Let's consider further. Making a bad situation worse. 1 Samuel 1:4. And when the time that Elkanah offered, he gave to Peninnah his wife and to all her sons and daughters portions. Verse 5, but unto Hannah he gave a worthy portion. Okay, so how is Peninnah supposed to take this? Why is she favored? Oh, why don't my kids get more? Do you really think that this made Hannah happy? No. The old expression, the 500-pound gorilla in the room? You have two wives. Giving her a little more meat doesn't make anybody happy. He thought he was doing a good thing. That was kind of almost an insult. I'm supposed to be happy by this? No worthy portion could change the situation. Hannah bore no children. Peninnah had several. Was she supposed to help raise these kids? I'm sure she'd be really excited about that. The lady makes fun of her. But it's interesting. I want to note four things how Hannah was favored. Number one, her very name, Hannah. It means favored. Favored. The Bible has really a lot of importance upon names, so don't take that lightly. They really thought about names in those days. She was favored. It may not seem like it on earthly standards, but she was a favored person. She was favored by her husband, albeit this was little consolation. He gave unto her a worthy portion. And keep reading in 1 Samuel 1:5, but unto Hannah he gave a worthy portion, for he loved Hannah. He loved her. Well, that didn't make Peninnah real happy, but she was favored by her husband, albeit the man was at great fault. Number three, we're going to see that she is favored by God ultimately, because he is going to give her a son who will be one of the greatest men Israel ever knew, and she will have other children also. We don't know anything about Peninnah and her kids. And number four, she will be and is honored by having her story studied for thousands of years to bless people yet to come. Got it? And yet she is the one suffering the most in this whole mess. She does not have the ability to bear children, and consider this. Year by year, she suffered in this one unhappy family. 1 Samuel chapter 1, verse 6, and her adversary, Peninnah, also provoked her sore for to make her fret, because the Lord had shut up her womb. And verse 7, and as she did so, year by year this went on. She went up to the house of the Lord, so she, Peninnah, provoked her. She wept and could not eat. This is the favored one of God. Dear God, why do I suffer like this? You read in the scripture and you will see people used greatly of God. They suffered greatly. And so it is, this woman constantly provoked her. You don't have any children, I do. Constant strife. This woman, Peninnah, put a conscious effort on her behalf to provoke and make Hannah miserable. And it worked. She wept and she could not eat. And remember, this is a time of sacrifice, and remember God. And how many families drive to church and there's arguing? No, if you argued this morning, I don't know anything about it. Did you realize Hannah can't get away from her problem? There was no escape. She was married into this, and her husband wasn't ready to get rid of the other wife. And her situation certainly seemed quite hopeless on the face of this earth. This is very hard to endure. No, this is not a Mother's Day situation, but this has the principles there. This was supposed to be a time of joy and happiness, but the truth is the family was a mess. And it wasn't what it could and should have been. Why does God allow his people to suffer? Well, there are many reasons why God lets us suffer. But I know this, God is behind it all, and everything that he does is for good, because God can only do good. And for some reason, he let her get into this situation. We don't know how it came to be the two wives. Was he married to Hannah and she wasn't bearing children, so he took a second wife? We don't know. All we know is it's in a lousy situation. The truth is, nobody's really happy in that family. So it is. Elkanah now tries to comfort Hannah. 1 Samuel 1:8. Then said Elkanah, her husband, to her, Hannah, why weepest thou? She must have thought, are you crazy? This goes on year after year, and you have the audacity to ask me why I weep? She kept her cool. Keep reading. Why eatest thou not? Why is thy heart grieved? Oh, I love this then. He says, am not I better than 10 sons? He's probably glad she didn't respond. There is no recorded response, but you have to wonder what she thought. See, he was in oblivion. He really did not appreciate what the family was going through, and he was just kind of out there in la-la land. And he says, what's the problem? Aren't I better than 10 sons? Do you realize he really had a pretty high opinion of himself? Dads, wake up! He is not the warm and wonderful husband that he thinks he is. He's self-deceived. He doesn't even consider the constant strife year after year. Well, next. So now Elkanah has presented these words of comfort. Now let's keep reading, chapter 1, verse 9. So Hannah rose up after they had eaten in Shiloh, and after they had drunk, now Eli the priest sat upon a seat by the post in the temple of the Lord. Now, Elkanah, Peninnah, and the kids had no problem having a wonderful meal. We don't care about Hannah sitting there crying again. This poor lady is just a basket case. She needs to get over it. No, it's not that easy to get over it. You see, the trials of life hurt, and they hurt badly. They're very real. And this lady has no out, and her husband does of little comfort to her. So she excuses herself from Elkanah and Peninnah and the family. Life is difficult, but she did not give up on God, and herein we see the strength that she has. In 1 Samuel 1:10, she was in bitterness of soul and prayed unto the Lord and wept sore. Are you struggling? Are you suffering? Let it drive you to God. Because He is still there, He is in control, and He cares for you. Does anyone care? Yes, God does. Do you have a tough time on Mother or Father's Day? God knows. God knows. Take it to Him. She goes out to pray. She has no children. She's picked on by the other wife. She can't worship without being made to feel bad. Her husband is insensitive and there's no end in sight. And she says in verse 11, she vowed a vow and said, O Lord God of hosts, if thou wilt indeed look on the affliction of thine handmaid and remember me and not forget thine handmaid, but will give unto thine handmaid a man-child, then I will give him unto the Lord all the days of his life. There shall no razor come upon his head. That's the vow of the Nazarite from Numbers chapter 6. And so it is that she makes this cry unto God so desperate. Dear God, does anybody care? Do you hear my prayer? Year after year I put up with this. But how many times do the problems of life drive us to our most sincere prayers? This is where she is. Did you notice her prayer is one of drawing close to God and not one of, now Lord, I want you to strike Elkanah dead. I want you to strike Peninnah dead. She's not praying that. She is looking forward to, dear God, I need your strength and your hand to be upon me, and I'm asking for a child. And if you give me that child, I'll dedicate him wholly to you. And just when things were lousy, they got worse. Verse 12, and it came to pass, as she continued praying before the Lord, Eli, that's the high priest, marked her mouth. Now Hannah, she spake in her heart, only her lips moved. But her voice was not heard. Therefore, Eli thought she had been drunken. Oh, good. Here I am praying, and the high priest comes, and he thinks I'm drunk. Now she's really saying, God, does anybody understand? Does anybody care? Peninnah provokes her. Elkanah is useless to her. Eli thinks she's drunk, and have a wonderful day sacrificing and worshiping God. Verse 14, and Eli the high priest said unto her, how long will thou be drunken? Put away thy wine from thee. Hannah answered and said, no, my lord, I am a woman of a sorrowful spirit. I have drunken neither wine nor strong drink, but have poured out my soul before the Lord. She controlled herself, and she still had respect. Verse 16, she had composure. Count not thine handmaid for a daughter of Belial. For out of the abundance of my complaint and grief have I spoken hitherto. Do you realize she is saying my complaint and grief? God never asked his people to live in denial. Is it hard? Take it to God in prayer. Dear God, I can't take this. This weight is more than I can bear. You have got to show your hand mighty on my behalf. For out of my complaint and grief. Now that doesn't mean we're supposed to throw a pity party, but it is the truth. Admit it. What I am going through is very hard, but I have faith in God. And when the high priest accused her of being drunk, she didn't snap and fly off the handle. She kept her composure. You don't understand. I'm taking this to God. Verse 17, then Eli answered and said, go in peace, and the God of Israel grant thee thy petition that thou hast asked of him. And she said, let thine handmaid find grace in thy sight. So the woman went her way and did eat, and her countenance was no more sad. victory. Truly take it to God in prayer. Get in the quietness of your room and pour out your heart. Dear God, right now life is extremely difficult and I don't know what to do. And she found peace and her countenance was no more sad. She had strength now to go on and endure her circumstances. Right now, her circumstances hadn't changed. But God gave her a peace that can only come from Him. At the time, her circumstances were still the very same. Let's read on, verse 19. And they, the family, rose up early in the morning and worshiped before the Lord and returned. I wonder what that worship service was like, but anyway. And they came to their house in Ramah, and Elkanah knew his wife, and the Lord remembered her. This was not, 5 minutes later. This apparently took some time. I don't know exactly how long the journey took to get back to Ramah. But we do know this, God didn't forget, and He remembered her. In due time, God remembered her. Verse 20, wherefore it came to pass, when the time was come about, that Hannah conceived, and she bare a son. I perceive this is approximately a year. Let's give him some time to get back to Ramah. She gets pregnant, and she bears a child 9 months later. Probably just a little short of a year. She bare a son. And it couldn't be denied after all of those years of no children. She pleads with God and she has a son. Folks, there are times in life that God's going to put us in very difficult situations, in situations that are impossible to human flesh. And when it comes to pass, there's only one way to explain it. God did it. This is what God wants. He wants the glory. That's why there are times He does put us in difficult situations. It's, dear God, this is beyond me. And God's saying, that's exactly right. And when I get you through this, give me the glory. Don't you dare take the credit. Verse 20, wherefore it came to pass when the time was come after Hannah was conceived, she bare a son and called his name Samuel, because I have asked him of the Lord. Because I have asked him of the Lord remember her, the Lord heard her. And do you know Samuel means heard of God? Names are important. Samuel came from a dysfunctional family, yet he served the Lord greatly. Was he perfect? No. We see some strife in his life, but he was still a great man of God. Hannah keeps her vow. Verse 24, and when she had weaned him, she took him up with her with three bullocks and with one ephah of flour, with a bottle of wine, and brought him unto the house of the Lord in Shiloh, and the child was young. She was blessed of God. He answered her prayer, and she kept her promise. She took that child and gave him at the temple. And if you read the story on, she lets him there eventually, and he serves with the priests. She completely gave her son up here. And she dropped him off at the temple and left. And she came back to visit him occasionally, year to year. But do you want to see what she didn't ask for and she got? Verse 21, and the Lord visited Hannah so that she conceived and bare three sons and two daughters. She didn't ask for that. Seek ye first the kingdom of God. I'm telling you, He will bless you and bless you and bless you. Not necessarily physically, materially, but He will bless you spiritually, number one. She never asked for the three sons and the two daughters, but she got them. Dear God, thank you. You are so good. Do you see how the Word of God addresses the realities of life? And yet this story is hundreds of years old, and it speaks to us today because human nature and sin and God and truth doesn't change. And so it is, there is someone this Mother's Day that are going to struggle with a special day when the family gets together. There was this time when Hannah got together with the family, and it was a special day, but it was a very, very frustrating day, a discouraging day with strife. And yet she took it to the Lord and her countenance was no more sad. Hannah was blessed. And if you read the story on in 1 Samuel, all Israel was blessed by Samuel. One lady in a very, very lonely, frustrating situation gives herself to God. He hears the prayer, and through her, a son comes who is a blessing to the nation. You getting it? Lord, what am I going to do to affect this world? Be faithful to God. I don't know. I'm not going to stand here and tell you exactly what can happen, but I know that God works through common people. And you say, well, I'm only in this little corner of the world. What is this going to do? Give it to God. That's what you do. And let Him make the most of it as according to His will. It's your job and my job to be found faithful. This one woman suffered yet endured, and the nation was blessed. She lived in frustration, yet her faithfulness was rewarded by God. The world may never know your name like they know Hannah, but God does, and one day the record is kept straight. So we ask, does anyone care? Hannah suffered at a special time of sacrifice and worship, and yet Peninnah did not care about Hannah. Elkanah tried to care about her, but he just didn't get it. Eli the high priest judged her as drunk, but God knew. One man and God is a majority. God knew. The truth is, men will disappoint you, but God never fails. Do right in your circumstances, for there's coming a day all things will be made right. You'll be glad you did the right thing. Trust God. Maybe today this speaks to you. From whatever vantage point, yeah, I do carry a heavy burden, and I'm frustrated, and it seems like there's no way out of this. Give it to God. Seek His face. Claim His promises. Stay faithful, because there is coming a day things will be made right. I don't know that your day will be made right here on this earth. There are a lot of people that died in obscurity. I think of slaves of years gone by, or slaves today. We don't know their name. God does. God does. Don't give up on God. I hope today you look at Mother's Day a little differently. Not everybody's excited about it. But when you remember the biblical admonition to honor father and mother, and you take it to God, and you remember, dear God, the mom that you gave me was your choice to make me who I am today. And your mother may not have been warm and wonderful, and she may have fallen far short of what she should have been. But God knew that, and He does not have an apology for you when you get to heaven. Rather, I knew I was there to comfort you if you would seek my face. And that woman made you who you are for a purpose that I have for you. And when you start to realize the truths of God, your thinking starts to change. This is difficult, but it drove Hannah to God, and she had a son. That was a blessing to the world. But do you know Christ as your Savior? If you died right now, would you go to heaven? This is the beginning of the Christian life. Then you start to live the Christian life as we see here with Hannah. Let that hand represent you. Let that billfold represent sin. God loves you, but He hates your sin. And if you die with this sin on you, you're going to hell. End of subject. That sin debt has to be paid before your death. It's too late once you die. And so it is, God sent forth His Son, Jesus Christ. Let that hand represent Jesus. On the cross, took your sin and my sin. Paid in full. When He shed His blood, He gave His life, the perfect sacrifice. His payment was for you. But you have to realize, accept it by faith. I get it. It's nothing that I do that gets rid of this sin debt. It's what Jesus did on the cross. I believe Jesus Christ on the cross paid my sin debt. And that's what saves my soul for all eternity, not my good works, Jesus alone. I believe that. I trust it. God knows your thoughts. You have eternal life.
This is Pastor Rod Holler. I pray you enjoyed that message. Thanks for listening.